This morning, the scripture is from Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Beginning verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with a wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Life should get easier with age, right? But think about it. Simply look at the Olympians. More practice they have, better athletes they become. It is the same with art, music, study, you name it. More practice they have, better artists, musicians, scholars they become, right? So, with the same logic, more years we live, practice that comes with aging, better living we should have, or becoming better or easier with age. But is it really? I know you might be laughing at me for saying this, but as I get older, life seems getting harder, not any easier. I mean, I'm getting plenty of good practice out of it, but as I get older, life seems getting wilder and wilder. I'm trying to solve and resolve whatever comes on my way. Some I am able to overcome by myself, but many times I am powerless, even paralyzed by the things, obstacles that comes on my way. The troubles and trials that has on the collisions. What am I to do with them? What are we to do with them? In today's scripture, we hear that as soon as Jesus receives his baptism, he is driven out to the wilderness by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that forcefully compels Jesus in the wilderness, indicated with a verb, ek bola, which is translated as drove out. Jesus is not led by or drew out, but drove out by the Spirit. Why would the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do such a thing? Before we go into that, let us recognize that this is the first Sunday in Lent. The first Sunday in Lent is always reserved for Jesus' temptation. Always. But have you noticed just how brief the temptation today's narrative is? This is all Mark says about Jesus' temptation. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him, period. That's it. The most familiar elements in the narrative are not found in Mark. No fasting or hunger. Nothing about the nature and content of the temptation, or content of the temptation. Nothing about the outcoming of the struggle. Remember those temptations that are listed in Matthew and Luke? What is the first temptation? Yes. Turning stones to loaves of bread. And this is how Jesus responded. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what was the second one? It's reversed. The sequence is reversed in Matthew and Luke. But according to Matthew, the first one, the second one actually was thrown down from the pinnacle of the temple. And Jesus replied, "Do not put the Lord God to the test." And the third in Matthew, or second in Luke, was, and Satan says, "I will give you the splendors of this world if he bow down or worship him." And what does Jesus say? Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Right? But once again, these are virtually non-existent in Mark. To the point, no details really. Just that it happened. It's kind of hard to preach on the temptation of Jesus when there's not much to go on. Sure, I could bring in Matthew and Luke, but that's Matthew and Luke. I believe we are given Mark for the reading for today for a reason. So let us unfold the scripture together as best as we can, shall we? In order to understand today's scripture, I believe that it will be helpful to go to the Exodus stories. So time to time, I will revisit and refer to the Exodus. Why did the Israelites go in the wilderness? Why did the Israelites go into the wilderness? To go to the promised land. Yes. So that they can be on their way to the promised land. And who led them to the wilderness? Okay. Yes. Moses was an instrument used by God, right? So it was God who led the Israelites to the wilderness, and Moses led as a person, as a leader, physically, to lead them in the wilderness. But it was God's doing. Likewise, it is God, the Spirit of God, who led Jesus to the wilderness. And the Israelites left the place in such a hurry. And so is Jesus driven out by the Spirit in hurry. It was good of the people. And so it is good of Jesus that he is driven out to the wilderness. As paradoxical as it may sound, it was good for the people to be in the wilderness. And so it is good for Jesus to be in the wilderness. By the way, what is wilderness? I believe that the name says it all. It is a wild place. More than wild. Wilder place. The name says it all. This is a place where it is so hot during the day and so cold during the night. So, in accordance with the Exodus story, that God provides the cloud by day and the fire by the night, so that they find the shadow or shelter during the day, and during the night that they find warmth by the fire. Also, when it is pitch dark in the wilderness, there was the light to guide them, the direction to lead them. Wilderness is a place where not much vegetation grows, where the water source is known. In other words, what is so vital and fundamental to the living. We are not even talking about leisure or luxury here, but basic needs that are so lacking in this place. That's why God provided manna and water to the Israelites in the wilderness. Wilderness is a place where wild beasts live. The creatures are strong enough and nasty enough to survive in such conditions. Wilderness. That's what wilderness is. Going back to hotter and wilder life, it seems that the things happen are wild, or wilder, beyond our imaginations. And when we thought that these things were wild, even the wildest things that we couldn't even possibly imagine or think about comes on our way, has on collisions. And sometimes we wonder, sometimes we complain that shouldn't be easier for us, for we have made ourselves to be children of God, and now that we belong to God. But it seems contrary, and life is even tougher and wilder, especially because we have dedicated our life to God. We have given ourselves to God, and now we belong to God. Yes, it is. Why? Because like Jesus, who received baptism and was driven out to the wilderness, so we have been driven out to the wilderness as well. Paradoxically, as it might sound once again, because it is good for us. We are removed from the place of sin, and we are in the wilderness, walking in the wilderness with our God. And in this wilderness, we are refined and purified. And we have to trust our God and God alone. And this is the place where we can be closer to God, trust in all our ways. And this is the place, most of all, that guides us and leads us ultimately to the promised land. That's why the wilderness is good for us. The place that we left is a place of bondage and slavery. Sin has bounded us. Sins have enslaved us. We needed to be out there, to be on our way to the promised land. Nonetheless, there's wilderness between point A to point B. This is the place we need to go through. There's no other way around. We need to go through this wilderness. So we experience hardship and wild things in our journey in this wilderness. Sometimes we lack the most vital and fundamental things to live. We are not even talking about, once again, leisure or luxury, but the most basic things that we need physically, mentally, and spiritually. So lacking in this wilderness. So maybe some of us sometimes complain like the Israelite, why did you bring us out of wilderness, out of Egypt? There were water there, there was food there, there was you fill in the blank. In fact, some of the Israelites who colluded with Egyptians, their lives were indeed much more comfortable there. In fact, if the people colluded with the world, it seems that their lives, their livings, seemed much comfortable and easy. But you and I know that this is not life at all. Life is not about finding comfort and easy living. Bounded by sin, enslaved by sins, which leads ultimately to death, that is not life. And that is not what life meant by God and with God. So we are in the wilderness. Because we left that place, we made our mind to walk towards the promised land, to be with God. And that's why we are in the wilderness. But like the Israelites, like Jesus, God cares for us and the angels wait on us. God is there for us, provides for us, and loves us in the wilderness. But it is so hard to see. In the settings of the wilderness, when we cannot see the promised land, to find the presence of God, for it seems that the wilderness is God-forsaken place, God-absent experience. Like Jesus who enters the wilderness only with the promise of God's presence, we are also left only with the promise of God's presence, and that's it. Not with fighting skills, not with self-help strategies, but only God's direct words to us that God will be with us and God will be there for us. Is that good enough? Is that good enough? In many ways, and in many days, we are so tempted to believe that God is absent. God has given up. We drown. How much can we take? How much? How many days? How many months? Why? Well, you name it. A whole host of reasons. We've prayed for our well-being, our family's well-being. We ask and made a petition known to God in our lives and in church circumstances it might be. What's happening around the community and the society and the world. But the prayers that we prayed didn't happen. We pray for the personal things or maybe even greater things like we pray for the senseless shooting to stop. But it hasn't. We know of those excruciating times when God is silent and even absent because we have experienced it. And we cried out, does He care? Does He know? It seems a trite example, but years ago, on the TV series MASH, the unit's priest, father, is it Mulkey, right? Yeah, Father Mulkey tried to talk with a wounded soldier who had been severely traumatized by what he witnessed on the front line of the war. But when this soldier discovered that the good father had never been anywhere close to where the fighting of the war was taking place, he concludes they just cannot talk. The soldier had no interest in hearing the pious platitudes of one who had no idea what he was talking about. Later in episode, after Mulke does come under enemy fire and is forced to perform an emergency medical procedure on a soldier, even as shells are exploding all around him, the soldier welcomes the father after all. Now they have a common frame of reference. Now they can talk. Father Mulke understands the experience. Now Mulke gets it. We have God who personally came as a human being and lived the life in the wilderness, literally, so that he knows, so that he cares. And he has given us examples of how to go through the wilderness. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says of this, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. As he went through the wildness upon the cross, disregarding his shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, from wilderness, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." He went through this wilderness for us so that we have the example of how to walk in the wilderness. I know it's kind of raw, but this is what I experienced this morning. So let me share that as I close this sermon. I went to pick up the kids this morning, and some of the kids live the second floor, so I had to go through the stairs. And as you can imagine, that the steps were iced there. So the first place I went as I was going up and as I was coming down, there was no footprint there. And as I was about to come down, I slipped and fell. But on the second home, or the second house, when I went there, there was a footprint there. So all I had to do was just follow that footprint there. Because there was a footprint there, and the warmth of the light has melted. So it guided me, and so I was safe. I believe that there is something in there that no footprint. It's an uncharted territory that we do not know, and we will surely fall. But if someone has walked in that path already, we have a footprint to follow. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, indeed, life gets harder and wilder as it seems. But we have this trust and promise that Jesus is with us. And he already made the footprint for us. All we have to do is follow his footsteps. Let us pray. Lord God, In the midst of challenging times, the predicaments, the wild things that we face, Lord God, we cry out, Lord, we made our life to be yours. Why this hardship? Why these wild things? But Lord God, from the scripture that you have given, and from the example that you have given in Jesus and through Jesus, the Lord God, we need to go through the wilderness. And in this wilderness, you are with us. When the beast cry out, and when wild beast roars at us, and when wild beast come at us, try to devour us, Lord God, the angels wait on us. Your presence and your word are with us. Jesus has made a footstep for us to follow to the promised land. Lord God, so let us not lose our sight. And let us not lose our focus. But see the example, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, and his footstep, and walk towards that line, towards that path, towards that direction, so we can make it with Jesus. Lord, be unto us, we pray. There are many people who are going through hard things, wild things of their lives at this moment. Lord, your presence are ever before them, and nudging them, guiding them, and care for them, and love them. Let them see the footprints of Jesus. Lord, there are so many people who are hurting and who are in pains and sufferings in the wilderness. Lord God, let us look at the cross and be healed and be made whole and once again walk towards the promised land. Lord, this is the way for us to the promised land. This is why we are in the wilderness. Lord God, help us to see and help us to know that you care and you love and you will guide, you will strengthen, and you will provide in this wilderness. Let this time be the time of refinement, and let this be the time of putting our whole trust in you. And that is the only way that we will and we can survive. With your word, with your love, with your guidance. And that is more than enough for us. That is more than good for us. For this leads us to life eternal, to life everlasting, life abundant, life full. So Lord, we journey step by step, striding step by step, the steps that Jesus left for us so that we can follow. And we pray all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.